All right, I just want to tell you guys about a cool new podcast we're doing here at Shockwave.
Shut up.
It's one part creepypasta, which isn't what you think it is.
Do you even know what you're talking
about? Crime fiction?
Yeah.
I don't.
You don't. You don't have a
just
clue.
Let me. I've had a good beer. I think it's going to be fascinating.
You've had a good beer?
You had a good beer?
Blumhouse is going to take over the world. This is the podcast you want to hear. I don't know who runs it. I don't know who's on it.
Well,
I'm pretty sure it's Greg.
Okay, hold on.
Okay,
calm down, Elroy.
Slow down, King. Okay.
Slow down. All right, well, first of all, hello, everybody. Obviously, this is on the Shockwaves feed. We are your co-hosts from Shockwaves, Rob G. That's Elric Kane,
that's
who speaks out of turn.
I have no idea.
Belligerent.
I actually thought this was an outtake. I'll be honest.
No,
but they kept
this
going.
Is the real deal.
Right,
we're
going
to use it. And Rebecca McKendry, of course.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. Obviously, when we launched Shockwaves under Blumhouse.com, it was always intended to be the first episode, the first show of the Blumhouse Podcast Network.
Yeah.
So we have something a little special, a little extra for you guys this week. It is not a Shockwaves episode, but it is a sample of our next new podcast.
And
so,
we will still have a Shockwaves episode up on Friday.
Yes.
But we're giving you a little teaser right now of a new podcast that Blumhouse.com has been working on. It is called Half Past Midnight, and this one is in line with some of our most successful articles that we've had on the website. And it looks at, I'll call it folklore, but kind of with a real historical background. So it's looking at things like urban legends, creepypastas, real history, strange stuff, internet rumors, things like that. So it's kind of going through some of this urban legend and internet lore that we've kind of addressed and been covering on the site and looks at it in a historical sense. So yeah, the hosts are some of the normal Blumhouse.com writers that you see covering this type of stuff. Greg Perkart, John Humphrey, Dave McKendry, and Steve Johnson.
Yeah. I know all those people.
We know them all. Yeah. And they're all good people.
They're good. They're good people. And
is the format going to be kind of more like a storytelling? So it's a little shorter than our show, I imagine. A little more produced.
It's these run, I would say, between 45 minutes and an hour. So it's a little bit shorter than our show. And each week they address a theme. And because each of the hosts comes from like different backgrounds, like Dave definitely comes from more of a history background. Steven is very kind of urban legendy. Greg is based in creepypastas. So because they come from these different backgrounds, they'll pick a topic and then they will kind of cover how this topic works inside of all of their different backgrounds in the kind of urban legend and lore and history realms.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, look, people like our show for what it is. It's a celebration of horror movies, things that are new, contemporary, old, and then an interview. But we're trying different things. And sometimes people like when we deviate with topics or different types of guests and talk about different things. So that's why we're giving you this sample, because it's something a little different. And maybe you'll dig it just as much as our show.
Yeah, and in the sample that they gave us to put up on our site, they're discussing clowns, which is very topical right now because we've been having all of this like crazy evil clown sighting all over the place. So they talk about kind of the history of clown lore, kind of the background of evil clowns. Is it grounded in history? Have there been a lot of real evil clowns? Addressing the sightings, were any of them real, or was it always just like people screwing around?
Have they heard John Carpenter's quote on this? Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
He's in a new saying. He's like, anyone that's buying it is a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
So this their first the show that we're going to tease right now kind of talks about the realities and the legends behind clowns.
Gregory S. Burkhart, senior writer for Blumhouse.com, and you're listening to a sneak preview of Half Past Midnight, a new show coming soon to the Blumhouse Podcast Network. On our show, we're going to be talking about bizarre news, myths and legends, folklore, creepypastas, paranormal phenomena, conspiracy theories, and a whole lot more. I'm going to be joined by my co-hosts, David Ian McHenry, Stephen Johnson, and John Humphrey. And in this particular episode, we're going to be talking about something that's on everybody's minds right now. Yep, we're talking about the clown problem. Where did it all get started? Helping us get to the bottom of this issue is our special guest, professional clown Joshua Ryan Zahner. Let's have a listen.
I, for one, and I think all of us, are very perplexed by the idea that clowns are now, I believe a survey was done by psychologists who asked the youngest generation what their perception of clowns was. And all of them were saying that they were scary or spooky or threatening. And probably only two generations past that, the general consensus was, oh, bozo. Oh, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, Ronald McDonald. You know, it was just like, it was all positive. It was like, oh, yeah, we had a clown at my birthday party. Or it's, you know, one of my earliest experiences with professional clowns was at Ringling Brothers Circus. And I remember laughing because as a 6-7 year old kid, watching a bunch of people just beating the hell out of each other in very creative ways was the most hilarious thing I'd ever seen. So it's like, I never got on board with the clowns are scary thing. So this always baffled me. I mean, I'm not an easy person to scare, but that's just not a thing that scares me.
Well, speaking as someone who's easily scared, I mean, I'm to the point where if a movie is sponsoring a website, I have to refresh the page until their banner goes away because it scares me that much. So, and I think it's a sort of a overactive imagination thing. So I'll say this. I definitely try to give people the benefit of the doubt here. You know, I think with everything, you know, it's a good approach. So, okay, I'm going to try to be empathetic here and I'm going to go from their point of view and go, okay. Now, I think when I see, you know, I was with Ringling Brothers and I performed in Las Vegas. I've done other things too in comedy. I was with the Second City. I was with the Amazing Jonathan, which I have a feeling this crowd would know.
Oh, yeah.
I know definitely
Jonathan.
Okay, yeah. So I worked with Jonathan for a while. Awesome. He's a good buddy of mine.
Oh yeah.
Is
he okay?
You know what? He's doing much better.
That's awesome.
He's good. Kicking ass. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Good.
That's so good to hear.
Yeah, we didn't think he'd be here right now. And he's now announcing show dates. He's doing little spots.
Really?
Hell yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I don't want to get people too excited, but he's definitely done a few, and he's, I think, has a few more coming. So this is
that's great.
Very good sign.
That's very good news.
Yeah. But, you know, I eventually ended up at Cirque du Soleil. So, I've done everything from the family show to the fancy pants kind of show, you know?
The $80 circus.
And that's the cheap seats.
How fancy were your pants?
Extremely fancy. The fanciest.
Fanciest of pants. Can't even call them pants.
This show's sponsored by Fancy Pants. They're breeches.
At that level, they're called pantaloons.
Yes, pantaloons. Oh, thank you.
My pantaloons are most fancy.
I see I'm in a room with fellow artists.
You are.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I wear exclusively pantaloons. I just want you to know.
Sometimes that's all he wears to work.
I didn't know if we were talking about, but yeah, everybody in the room right now is wearing pantaloons, and it's quite a sight.
It is.
Very ugly.
We didn't even do this. Knowing that you were going to be here, Josh. We just.
I think Greg's clown name is Serendipity.
Serendipity.
Dude, I want to see a clown routine by a guy called Serendipity just to see what that act would
consist of. He doesn't actually have any paint. He's all tattoos.
But
he's nothing.
Clowns still do clown names, or is that not something? Because I have to say, for the listeners, my wife went to clown college as well.
Yes.
They're both alumni of clown college. Mm-hmm. And she says that there's a slur that clowns have, that real clowns, good clowns, have against clowns that, like, are sort of lame clowns. And they call them yamas, right?
Is that 100% correct, yeah.
Do we have to beep that out?
Yeah,
is
exactly. You better beep that out.
Yeah.
Is that a secret clown thing? Did I give away secret
clown knowledge? No. Okay. I think let's get it out there. Let's get everybody using it. Let's take the word back. Let's take back the guy.
Let's take the power away from the yamas.
I want everybody to grab a plate with a candle, and we're marching tonight.
the million yama march.
Yeah. No, that is 100% true. So you know, going back to the people that are scared, you know, I'll give them this. Yeah, clowns can be scary. So grotesque, you know, these big faces, big mouths, big eyes. But we have to kind of like, if you want to bring this kind of to a historical context and take a step back, you know, everything has a purpose. And in modern times, you know, I know when I speak to, it's funny, I teach acting and stuff, and I'll work with like quote unquote millennials now. And I remember one of my students, I talked about Johnny Carson, and he's like, "Who's Johnny Carson?" And I was just like, "Hold on, I'm going to jump out this window. I'll be right back."
The really big shoe.
So that was Ed Sullivan, dude.
That was Sullivan.
No, that's the point of that joke. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wrong.
John was being historically aware. I'm sorry.
He's Googling Yama as we speak. Yeah. No, you know, back when everything was live performance, right? Live theater, live. The clowns, they were performing for, well, you know, the Ringling loves to point out that the last seat in the house at Madison Square Gardens is a quarter mile away from the center ring.
Jeepers.
Yeah. So you think, okay, I have to communicate to the audience a thought, an emotion. I didn't like that hit on the head. or, ooh, I really like that cake that I want. You know. And so the makeup was there to help enhance that. Now, if you go to Ringling nowadays, you'll see that the clowns actually wear a lot less makeup. They don't wear wigs, most of them. Mm-hmm. It's very toned down because part of the show, the experience, an hour before the show, you get to come on the floor and meet everybody. It would be jarring to have that up in front of your face, mm-hmm. but it's also like, well, the same reason why teachers don't have billboards in the classroom. You know, it works when you're driving by in a car, but you can't have it up close like that to deliver a message.
Yes.
So it's the same thing. So
Why the meet and greet?
Why the meet and greet? I think it's there to add to the experience, and nowadays everybody has to offer a little more, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, but is it to humanize the experience so people aren't as freaked out,
or to heal the divide between?
Because the fear of clowns has become this sort of weird, ubiquitous thing where it's just like everyone kind of cops to it, and I don't know how many people are actually really afraid of clowns.
Well, and I think too, if people really understood what clowns were, I mean, Charlie Chaplin said, "I'm just a clown," mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Laurel and Hardy, Buster Keaton, these were clowns to me. Modern days, I'd say, you know, Chris Farley, he was a clown, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Mr. Ace Ventura, you know.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Obviously a clown. I mean, look at the way he moves and stuff. He probably can contort his face even scarier than makeup could. But, but you know, so I think when people say they're afraid of clowns, they're afraid of a type of a thing. And I think we could all get behind the thing that they're afraid of.
It's kind of interesting what you just touched on with the enlarging the expressions. Mm-hmm. It's very much a Greek theater sort of thing when they wear the masks with the grotesquely overstated eyes and mouths to show expression.
Well, that even pours over into regular theater because just, you know, you have, because everyone's looking at you from far away, so makeups are much more exaggerated.
Right.
Know. Yeah, and even, you know, going from the Greek mass that you said, then we go to Commedia dell'arte later on in our, you know, down the path of history there. And again, it's those grotesque masks and stuff. And it's even the characters themselves are grotesque. Like, El Capitan was one thing, not only his mask, but what he represented and what his choices he would make when they were doing what were largely improvised pieces. And so it's that grotesqueness that now that we have TV cameras, you know, if you look at the first movies that were filmed, it was basically they treated it like it was a theater. They would pull the camera way back, wide shot, and that was it. It was up to the characters to perform and fill that space.
Yeah.
Then we started going in. We started getting close-ups. So we had to start changing things, you know? And it's the same thing we're going through right now with going to high definition and, you know, makeup and costumes and sets have to not be as, you know, slipshod as they were before.
Mm-hmm. So in the future, will all clowns just have, like, a bunch of dots on their face and then you watch the show through, like, a Google Glass with CG?
You
it's going to be mocap.
You will be the clown.
Whoa.
Clown.
You blew my mind.
The clown.
I had a theory about clowns and why they're scary, and I'm going to share it with you guys. Tell me what you think. Okay.
Careful.
People in masks, pretty scary because you can't see their expression.
Yeah.
And in order for us to be coherent as a society, it's very important that we be able to read the emotions on other people's faces, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Clowns, because they have exaggerated expressions painted on their face, you are seeing one expression, but you can also see another expression underneath it that's their real face. And I feel like in some subconscious way, you are getting an expression, you're getting two expressions on the same face, and it kind of opens up a little like rift between the worlds into like the uncanny for like one moment. Well, maybe you don't recognize it consciously, but it just, and I think that really off puts people, like it really puts you on the wrong footing.
if somebody exaggerates their appearance, you are thrown off guard. And I think the old instinct that says this can't be trusted, I'm getting mixed signals, is like, it's the why a mannequin would frighten some people if it looks too realistic, but not quite.
Yeah, and like a mask is scary in a different way because it's just hiding the real expression.
The complete thing. Yeah.
So I'm gonna offer myself up as an example. I'm starting to put on lipstick as we speak.
This has nothing to do with
stop
clowns.
Right there.
It has nothing to do with the podcast.
Put down the knife.
No, you said you were a good clown.